did for you. Amen. I'm so thankful for the Lord. I hope you're thankful too. Go ahead and take the Word of God and turn with me, please, to the book of John. John chapter number 20, while you're turning there, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Calvary Baptist Church and Pastor Kevin Broyhill. You've been so kind to me, and I appreciate your willingness to allow me to stand behind this pulpit here this morning. I want to thank those many men and women with Help Ministries that put forth your life's best years for this eternal purpose. I want to thank Brother Scotty Drake for being so kind to this scrawny white boy who has nothing to offer. You've been a dear friend to me, and I thank Miss Barbara as well. And I could go on. Some of my heroes are under this roof right now. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they are. And I am indebted to you and all that you've done all around the world. I just love you. And I wish I could be more like you by the grace of God. And I'm thankful for those new riders, as Brother Lee said. You see, I appreciate the faithful ones, the ones who have that those wisdom of years of experience. I mean, look at the head of hair there on Brother Cable. It's turned different shades. And I'm thankful for his ministry, for the ministry of those who've gone before me. But I see some young faces in the crowd. You young bucks, if you will. I was watching a rodeo one time, and they put the cowboy on this bull. That cowboy was sitting there, and he pulled his cowboy hat down, had his vest on, tied his hand there into that hole, put his other hand up. And before he gave the nod, the bull started jumping around, and that bull was just begging and snorting, "Open the gate!" That's about how I feel right now. And I hope that's how you feel too. Just give me a shot. I might make a mess of it, but give me a shot. Oh, my. Well, let's get to it. Like Brother Ron said, that mail has got to be delivered in time, and he told me I better be done by 12 or I'm never coming back. So go ahead and get your Bible. Stand to your feet all over the house. John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. One of the saddest days in the disciples' lives. The man whom they had all hope and all trust and all faith in now died. The previous nights they tossed and turned in their beds, unable to sleep. For once there was confidence, now there was fear. Where there was once hope, now only despair. They entered into a place after the crucifixion in which, if you were to ask them a few days prior, as he triumphantly entered Jerusalem, they would say, "We know what's going to happen here." But now, uncertainty grips them. And they huddle themselves together in their own house. They close every door, close every window. They're deeply concerned about what will happen next. The Bible says this in John chapter number 20, in verse number 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus." Sometimes when we read our Bibles, we see the words, but we don't picture the reality. I need you to picture the reality with me this morning, if you would, please. Huddled in fear, for fear of the Jews, every door, every window shut. And the Bible says, came Jesus. Enter into that room with them, if you would, please. And I want you to see the posture of Jesus. And stood. Much could be said about that. Yes. Stood in the midst. Shocked and amazed they were, and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Take your eyes and find verse number 24, and I want to draw your attention to an overarching truth of this appointment. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Father, we're in such desperate need. Of you to stand in our midst. Yes. Lord, you walked in our presence last night, comforted our souls about those things that you once did that had never been done after that fashion. And Lord, I pray that you would do it again. And you stood in our midst. But Lord, my fear is that with all that you desire to do and all that you desire to supply to us, my fear, Lord, is that some of us might miss it. Help me, Father, I pray. Empty me of self. Fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Gripped with fear and overwhelmed, the disciples gathered in that place. And Jesus came and stood in their midst. It is amazing to me that when you look at the lives of the disciples, it was not that final death that he made on the cross that inspired them to move forward. Although we can gather here today and sing of that precious blood that flowed from his veins, that cleanses us from all sin, that final atonement that gave us that we became that purchased possession. We can sing about the death of the cross, but it was not the death of the cross that inspired those men to continue on. In fact, it was the death of the cross that caused them to cower in fear and take several steps back from his eternal glory and purpose. It was, however, their view of the risen Savior that inspired them to go on. It was what happened in that gathering in their house that moved them by great courage and great bravery to take the gospel to the furthest reaches of the world. In fact, going on from that room, we can learn about the life of those 10 men that were present. We can learn about Peter, how he was crucified upside down, because he was at that point thereafter ready to give his life for the gospel. We can read about those other men, how time and time again they committed their lives to following Christ no matter what. But I want to draw your attention to the very fact that it was not the crucifixion, but rather their view of the risen Savior that moved them forward. Amen. But there was one person that missed it. There were 10 men in that room. Judas had gone out and committed suicide because of his own guilt and his own grief. But yet Thomas was not present. And if you'll allow me, if you'll listen closely, I'd like to preach a message this morning entitled this: Do Not Miss It. Do not miss it. Whether you're in Kenya or Uganda, whether you're in Cuba or Mexico, do not miss it. For God has called us with a purpose, and God has called us and wants to equip us for that task. There are three things that the Lord Jesus Christ gave those 10 men that Thomas missed. The first one, listen closely, he delivered his peace. He delivered his peace. As Jesus came into their presence there in that room while they were gripped with fear, it says they were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in their midst and saith unto them, I want you to notice that they were not the first ones to break the silence, but rather Jesus spoke to them. Yes. And his very first words were this: Peace. Peace be unto you.
Amen.
Kind of peculiar way to begin the discussion, don't you think? Peace. Peace be unto you. I wonder why he thought it so important that the very first word that came out of his mouth was peace. Well, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, that was the very first thing that was announced about his coming.
Yes, amen.
There were shepherds on a hillside, all in a, the heavenly host filled the sky, and they began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." What does this mean? That means that God has goodwill towards us. You see, when the disciples had last seen Jesus, there was a reconciling remedy that was still needed. He had not died on the cross. He had not paid for the sins of the world. True, He was the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. But this was the pivotal moment in history in which sin would be paid for. It was the death of the cross. The last time they saw Him, they were still dead in their trespasses and sins. But this time, He had peace with God through the death of Jesus Christ. And He says, "Peace, peace, peace be unto you. The remedy has been reconciled." He said, "Peace be unto you," not just because the reconciling remedy, but also because He came to restore relationship. Yeah. It reminds you what things were like the last time Jesus was near His disciples. There were 12 of them. One of them crept near Him like a snake in the night, kissed Him on the cheek. He looked at Him and His first words were, "Friend." And Jesus was betrayed by that friend. We don't see much else of the rest of the disciples as the night progresses forward except for Peter. In fact, the Bible says this, that Peter followed afar off to see the end. To see the end? To see the end? In other words, Peter decided there's no more hope. This is it. What other reason could we give for Peter's distance from Jesus Christ? For surely if he thought that he was going to raise victorious, Peter would have stood in there. But no, he followed afar off to see the end. When accused of being close to Christ, he denied it and profanity began to spill out of his lips. Now, I don't know about you, but you stab me in the back, and then you go out and you talk bad about me, pretend like you never knew me, and cuss up a storm. The next time I see you, we're probably not going to be real close. I'm just saying. I mean, the knife is still stuck squarely between my shoulder blades, and you think I'm going to come up to you, give you a fist bump, a smile, and pat you on the back and say, "Hey there, buddy, how you doing?" No, we're going to have problems. I mean, I'm a fundamental independent Baptist. We're professionals when it comes to having problems with each other. It's what we do. Preach the gospel and complain. It's what we do. It's a shame. And here, Jesus enters in. He says, "Peace be unto you." Why? Because yes, there's been a reconciling remedy, but He wanted to let them know He came to restore a relationship. He said, "Hey, I'm not interested so much anymore about your past. You may have doubted me in the past. You may have been distanced from me in the past. You may have cursed me in the past. You may have said lies about me in the past. But I want to come to you in this place right now while you have ran away. And I want to say, peace be unto you. I want to reconcile. I want to restore this relationship." And here He is, here at Calvary Baptist Church at the Help Ministries Conference. And I don't know what you have done with Him in the past or what you're doing with Him in the present, but He comes and He says, "Peace be unto you." He wants to restore the relationship, and I'm begging you, do not miss it. Oh, don't miss it. Don't miss it. If your relationship is strained with God, it's not God's fault. For He still stands there with arms wide open, begging you to come unto Him, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and He will give you rest. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. Oh, glory, I better hurry. Don't miss His peace. You know, there's something else that He delivered to them, though. He says here in verse number 21, He says, "And then said Jesus unto them again." I love that. They must have been as hard of hearing as you are. And by you, I mean me. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. Now notice this very carefully. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Well, I have known so many men and women that want so much to serve God. My tears have also fell down on so many altars, just begging God, use me. I've heard from our missionaries. I've heard from my friends. A desire just to be used of God. Just to be used of God. Lord, just show me what you want me to do. Or if I could phrase it this way, Lord, show me your purpose. And here it is. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You see, not only did they receive his peace and Thomas missed it, but they received his purpose and Thomas missed it. Oh, I recall the men that may be standing there, Peter and Andrew, the very first time that Jesus came unto them walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And his first words to them were simply this, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." In other words, this is future tense. This is something that I am going to do. I see you. You know how to fish for fish, but I am going to teach you how to fish for men. And during his entire earthly ministry with those two men, he was teaching them to become, or so that they might become, fishers of men. And many of you, you've been training, you've been in your Bible classes, you've been studying, you've been part of different endeavors in order to learn the Word of God. And in this process, he has been making you to become fishers of men. And now you sit there ready to be sent, and you're looking your face towards heaven saying, "Lord, where should I go? What should I do?" And he comes into your presence right now and says, "As my Father sent me, even so send I you." In other words, their conditioning was complete. It was time to go. The gate for that bowl is now flung open, and it's time to go out and to do the work of God. What are you waiting for? He's saying, "As my Father sent me to do my job, now I send you." Oh, and here's the thing about his glorious eternal purpose. His Father did not send him to fail. Did he? Might I remind you what Jesus had accomplished at this point? He had already succeeded. He spread his arms on that rugged cross and he said, "It is finished." And he makes a comparison here with his disciples. If you'd grant me the liberty, he's basically saying, you remember how I told you my Father sent me to die for the sins of the world? You know how I did that? I know you feel a little embarrassed about it right now, but remember how I told you that in 3 days I'd rise again? Shazam, here I am. And he makes this comparison. He's saying, as my Father sent me, just like how my Father sent me to succeed, even so, in the same way, I'm sending you. You might be sitting there this morning thinking, there is no possible way on earth this thing the Lord keeps touching my heart to do, whether it's missions or to go and to preach or to become a teacher or to become a missionary and across some ocean and to lead a nation. We're too short-sighted. Don't just lead a neighbor or a neighborhood or a city. Let's win the world to Christ. So how are we going to do that? That sounds pretty impossible. Hey there, makes for good preaching there, Pastor Jared. But there's 7.5 billion, with a B, billion people on earth. That's a lot. And some have folded their arms and said, that's impossible. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preached the gospel. He meant all the world. And He did not call us to fail, just like His Father did not send Him to fail. He did not send you to fail. The only difference between failure and success is obedience. Is obedience. I am convicted in my soul and in my heart that God's work, done God's way, cannot fail. If God has called you to it and you're obedient to it in His way, with His word, it cannot fail. Why don't we step out and follow not just His peace, but His purpose? There were 10 men in that room and they all got it, but Thomas missed it. And I beg you this morning, do not miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. There's one more thing the Lord gave them that Thomas missed. Peace be unto you. He gave him His peace. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. He gave him purpose. But I want you to notice what, in my mind, is the most peculiar part of this text. I'm going to be honest, it seems very odd. It says here in verse number 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Now this is odd to me. Now when you speak, you breathe. You know that, right? It's impossible to speak without breathing. Go ahead and try it. If you pass out, don't worry. You'll be fine. You can't do it. But here is not something that it's saying that he's speaking and breathing, but rather after he had said this, in other words, there had been, he had stopped speaking, he breathed on them. I pictured in my mind, is he sitting or standing? He stood. Put yourself in the room. Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then the Lamb of God pauses. Whew. I started studying this. I studied that word breathe. It shows up all over the Bible. Breathe, breathed, breath. But here's what I found very peculiar. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved, inerrant Word of God. But for depth of study, I also enjoy looking at the Greek that underlines. And I looked at that Greek word, emphusao. It's the only place it shows up in the entire New Testament. Nowhere else. So thanks, Lord. That's not helpful. You know, how can I compare something that there's nothing to compare it to? Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. And here's the fact. There's nothing you can compare it to. There's nothing that you can compare the breath of God to. Because when it comes to the breath of God, it's not based on your talent. It's not based on your ability. It's not about who trained you. It's not about what you learn. It is about the breath of God in your life. It is about the breath of God in your ministry. It's about what God does in us that we cannot do for ourselves. There is absolutely nothing that you can compare it to. But I can tell you this. It had a result. It had a result. And the result was this. He came to give him his peace. He came to give him his purpose. But he came to give him his power, the power of the Holy Spirit on high, because he said this, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and he's given us his glorious power. You say, well, I can't do it. You're right. You're going to be a failure, but he can. He can. He can. He can. God has never failed and never will. And if you get what he's got, oh my, we'll see the world reached. But Thomas missed it. I just want to challenge you this morning. Have you missed it? If you missed it, maybe you're a senior in high school. You've been playing games the whole time. You've missed it the whole time. You better listen up now. Don't miss it now. Maybe you're a missionary here, and you know, you've done a lot for the work of the Lord, but His life has worn heavy, heavy upon you, and it's become more work and less hard, and you're starting to miss it. You're starting to miss it. And if that's you, and you feel like I've missed it so much, in my Bible, I turn over one page, and I read verse number 26, and it says, "And after 8 days, again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus." Regardless of if you have missed this your whole life, perhaps right now, right here, you need to get it. Get it again. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed all over the house.